Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, November 21st. There have been delays on Kent's roads today after a person was hit by a lorry on the M2. Kate has more for the Kent Online podcast.
The coastbound carriageway was closed at around 8 last night after the pedestrian was struck by a lorry between junctions 5 for Sittingbourne and 6 for Faversham. Police and other emergency services arrived on the scene and brought traffic to a standstill. Drivers were stuck in the closure in sub-zero temperatures for several hours. Traffic was released from the rear of the queue, with all trapped traffic eventually released by 2 a.m. The road was still closed this morning and there was congestion on a number of Kent's roads. One London-bound carriageway was also closed. Cars were queued back along the A299 and the A2 London-bound. It was also busy along the A2 through Sittingbourne and Faversham with diverting traffic. Police say the road closures were so they could carry out specialist crash investigations. At the time of recording today's podcast, there's been no update on the condition of the victim.
Thanks, Kate. And you can follow the latest updates on this story on the main page of our website.
Kent Online reports.
A Folkestone man who sexually assaulted a schoolgirl has been jailed for 2 years. Callum Maycock initially made inappropriate comments to the victim near Ford Road in June. The 21-year-old, who used to live in Ford Road South, will be subject to a 10-year restraining order. It's been revealed a Kent man who killed his partner in a stabbing attack had his mental health referral closed on the same day. Kate has the details.
David Creed attacked Catherine Granger at their Canterbury flat in December 2020, just days after saying voices in his head were telling him to kill her. Police had submitted an urgent mental health referral and advisers were required to contact him within 72 hours. They tried to reach him 5 days later, but when they couldn't, it was concluded he posed no threat. The 53-year-old from Longacre Close pleaded guilty to manslaughter through diminished responsibility and was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Kent and Medway NHS say they have since made changes to improve their care.
A former head teacher from Bearstead who sexually assaulted a girl has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard how Anil Gaines initially tried to blame his victim but later pleaded guilty. The offence wasn't related to his profession and the 61-year-old from Button Lane has been given a suspended sentence. He'll also have to do unpaid work and is barred from working with children. There's been a huge rise in the number of compensation claims for pothole damage in Kent. It's gone up from 655 in 2022 to more than 1,800 last year. That's an increase of 188%, but figures show only 8% of claims were successful. Simon Williams is head of the RAC, which compiled the data.
Council's paid out, on average, about £260, which we think is estimated around £824,000 between them all. And that means that a lot of drivers will, even if they've successfully claimed for compensation, probably lost out, because anything more than a puncture tends to cost around about £460. So things like damaged shock absorbers, broken suspension springs and distorted wheels, they're all going to set you back a lot more than that £260. So even then, drivers are losing out. And obviously, most drivers and those people have been turned down for compensation claims have definitely had to fork out an awful lot of money, because the majority of claims are being turned down. Cars obviously don't like being driven over potholes. They'd rather be on smooth surfaces. But of course, you have to remember, anyone on two wheels, on a motorbike or a push bike, hitting a pothole could be, you know, that could be an absolutely tragic case. At worst, you know, they could be losing their life. And obviously, in a minor case, you might be just dealing with some broken bones. But this is the kind of case we should not be having to put up with. Our roads should be of good quality and fit for purpose. Instead, many roads are more like the surface of the moon. And we really need to move away from that. And I think so. We would urge everyone to report potholes that they see. But because councils have this kind of get out of jail free clause, in that through Section 58 of the Highways Act, if they aren't aware of a pothole, they don't have to pay compensation. So they have to carry out routine inspections, but they can't be expected to know about every single pothole on all their roads. So between them inspecting their own network and people actually reporting potholes, If there's any that they're not aware of, they don't have to pay out. And I think we actually asked this of councils, and Only 9 councils responded to this part of the freedom of information request that we made, but it seems that 3/4 of claims to those 9 authorities were being turned down due to that kind of get out of jail free clause, as we call it.
Kent County Council have given the podcast this statement.
This new data from the RAC reinforces yet again that potholes are a national issue, not only affecting Kent. Each year, KCC invests more than $50 million a year in Kent's local road network, which includes repairing potholes and resurfacing roads and footways. Despite the money invested and the relentless work our teams do to maintain and repair roads, the number of defects reported on the roads continues to be exceptionally high, and the current maintenance backlog in Kent stands at more than $1 billion for all highway assets. We continue to raise the need for a dramatic increase in highway funding over a long period, as this would mean we would instead be talking about the long-term benefit of resurfacing and rebuilding roads with a fully funded program laid out over decades rather than the annual number of individual potholes to fix. Potholes are the end point and a symptom of decades of significant and short-term underfunding in roads by central government across the UK. It's clear that funding formula for highway investment is not working and must be changed.
Kent Online News.
Figures have revealed more than 80,000 people in Kent are taking illegal drugs. The data is being discussed at a meeting of the Kent Community Safety Partnership today and shows 32,000 are using Class A substances. A report also says the number of people getting the help they need for addiction is below the national average. A Ramsgate mum says she's living in unsafe conditions after a leak in her flat caused part of the ceiling to collapse. After complaining to the Housing Association, she was given buckets and tarpaulin to combat the dripping, but no one has been able to fix the source of the leak. A spokesperson for the company said teams have been at the property this week and they're committed to fixing the problem as soon as possible. A CCTV control centre in Swale is going to be expanded to monitor cameras in other parts of the county. Bosses have teamed up with Gravesham and Folkestone to check their public space cameras too. The base already works closely with police to tackle crime and antisocial behaviour. Now, bosses in Medway say they're facing difficult decisions as they try to balance their budget. The council are facing an £11.2 million overspend this year, and that's expected to increase to more than £26 million next year. Speaking after a cabinet meeting, council leader Vince Maple responded to claims they could declare themselves bankrupt.
Look, I think that's very unlikely. We're working hard to deliver the financial improvement and transformation plan. We're working with hard-working officers both across the council and indeed in civil service departments, not just in MHCLG but other areas, Department of Transport, of course.
When it comes, if that EFS funding doesn't come through, is it going to happen?
Well, no, we will look very carefully. We'll have to take some more difficult decisions. There's no doubt of that. You know, if you are working on a plan that says you're going to be receiving some additional support, but the indications are very clear that this government wants to work with council.
In a year's time, me and you might be standing here talking about the financial state of Medway Council. Then, do you think it might be a more positive outlook?
Well, one of the things we know that's coming next year, next financial year, is a multi-year settlement from government. Under the Conservative government, we had year on year, so it was difficult to plan a multi-year settlement with a government who have clearly indicated they'll be looking at the issue of funding based in part on need. And we know that Medway has some higher levels of deprivation in parts of our community. I'm hopeful that will be a positive outcome for our community here in Medway.
They're hoping to start a discussion with central government about the support they can offer.
Kent Online reports.
A logistics firm in Dartford has added pressure on the government to approve plans for the new Lower Thames Crossing. Europa Worldwide say building the road tunnel between Gravesend and Essex will add £40 billion to the UK economy and is essential to ease pressure at the current Dartford crossing. A decision is due to be made by the Transport Secretary next May. Bosses at Kent's Manston Airport have revealed they're hoping to confirm funding for the development of the site before the end of the year. It's been 6 months since the airfield in Thanet was given the go-ahead to be converted into a cargo hub following a long-running legal challenge. Kent Online understands it'll be about 18 months before any structural work starts, and it's expected to cost around £650 million. If you live in Tunbridge and Malling, it's going to cost more to have your garden waste collected. From April next year, the charge is increasing by 19% to £63 a year, with another £40 for a second or third bin. More than half of households currently use the service, but it's feared the hike could lead to a fall in subscriptions. A former Lib Dem politician from Kent has been telling us why he decided to campaign for justice for Gurkhas. Until 2004, those who served in the British military weren't allowed to settle in the UK and were instead sent back to Nepal. Peter Carroll's been chatting to Simon on the Kent Politics podcast.
I was contacted by a local councillor in Canterbury who said that he'd heard this story that some retired Gurkhas were anxious about a friend. The friend was called Tej Limbu, and he'd been arrested and forcibly taken to Dover to be deported. And I thought, well, because at that time I didn't really know about, I knew about Gurkha's service and how they were regarded, but I didn't understand the rules and this ban on staying in the UK. And I was really outraged by that. Within a few days, four retired Gurkhas were in the front room of my home where I still live, explaining to me what had happened. And I genuinely felt, put all politics aside, all party politics, it was like a disbelief. It was just disbelief. How can this be? So I researched it, and from that moment on, I resolved to try. And it felt, at the time, an impossible task. I felt like I need to do something. I need to put a campaign together where we change the rules. We persuade the government to change rules. And that was the birth of the Gurkha Justice Campaign. Mm-hmm. Went through some incredible highs, incredible lows. Getting Joanna Lumley involved was the equivalent of getting a nuclear weapon. And she was devastatingly good.
Her father had been an officer in the Gurkha regiment.
Yeah.
And she was born in Kashmir, I think, wasn't she?
Yeah. There was one moment in the campaign which will live with me forever. Even bigger, I think, than the day we won and it was announced by the Home Secretary in the Houses of Parliament. And it was this. Joanna, there's a really funny story, actually, because when Joanna phoned, she left a voicemail message and didn't say who it was. So when I jumped in my car, I was halfway back from Yorkshire on some haulage business work, and I answered, I dialed 121 to get my messages, and there was a lady's voice saying that something, could I ring her and bloody, and I thought, oh, it's going to be a bit of casework in Cheriton, because at that time I was a local councillor. And I rang the number, and as I was talking to her, I thought, we know within a few seconds, you think, I know that voice. And basically what she said was, you've been trying to get in touch with me, my agent's passed this number on, tell me what the issue is. I told her, and she said, Peter, I'll be with you to the end, which was great. First day in the campaign, and this is the moment that will live with me forever. She said to me in that phone call, there's one thing I would like to happen, if at all possible. My father's life was saved by a Gurkha soldier. And he gave me a picture of that Gurkha soldier when I was a little girl and said, this is the bravest man you'll ever meet. If there was any chance at all that I could meet that Gurkha, if he's still alive, it would mean the world. So we found the Gurkha, Tull Badaherpun VC, Victoria Cross. So on the first day she joined the campaign, we'd got all the media, local, regional, national, international. We've gone to the High Court, and I'm walking up the steps at the High Court, surrounded by flashlights and cameras and microphones and 1,000 retired Gurkhas, a cacophony of noise. We get to the top step just before you go into the main arches of the High Court, and there is Tull Badaherpun sat in his wheelchair. She bends down to greet him, and he reaches up, touches the side of her face, and says, I remember your father. It's as if you're my own daughter.
Wow.
That was the moment.
She wiped a tear
from her eye. And at that moment, you really sensed that this was more than immigration. Mm. It was more than party politics. this was about something really, really special.
You can hear the full episode on the politics page of our website.
Kent Online News.
Artwork created by children living through conflict in Syria has gone on display at Rochester Cathedral. The exhibition, called Picturing Peace, is a collection of 13 paintings from youngsters aged 9 to 12 about what peace means to them. It's part of the Awareness Foundation's Little Heroes programme. Kate spoke to Nadim Nassar, who's the executive director.
Oh, you have no idea how excited they are. And they, of course, they never expected their paintings to be in London and or in Rochester. And they were very excited. And when we told them that we are going to have an exhibition especially for your paintings, they, of course, they were delighted. And that is part of the process to tell them that you are not stuck in the war. You are not limited in that box of violence and lost childhood. The world is bigger. We can help you to reach beyond your imagination, beyond your thinking. And that is extremely exciting for them.
And can you tell me a little bit about the artworks? It must be quite a difficult question if you put to a child that's been born and brought up during a war, what the idea of peace must look like. Can you give me an example of what some of the pictures look like? What sort of things are being included?
Yes, some paintings are moving because they used a lot of colors, despite their anxiety, despite their fear and sadness. For example, I tell you one painting which was really moving. A girl placed the manger of Christ in the sea with the sunset behind it. And when we asked her, what is this? What do you mean? She said, young people in Syria are throwing themselves into cheap boats to escape the war. And many of them died in the sea. The Mediterranean Sea has become like a cemetery. And she wanted to bring the Prince of Peace into the middle of the sea. It's incredibly moving if you see the painting of the manger of wood inside the sea with the sunset behind it. The idea of a girl of seven is incredible. And another painting of a knight, and then in the background, very, very small, a swing of a child sitting on the swing, and a blue knight with this longing for going back to the childhood, going back to home. There is a lot of longing, a lot of thinking of what if. There is also children holding hands with above the hands hearts, and in Arabic they put the word salam, which means peace, and they express themselves, I have to say, beyond what we expected. Some of them they put butterflies and flowers, but a lot of nature. You see a lot of nature expressed in those paintings because, unfortunately, nature is destroyed in Syria.
The artwork is on display until November 29th. An 8-year-old girl has donated 120 kilograms of supplies to Medway Food Bank after creating her own leaflet to spread the word. Rose, who's from Twiddle, managed to collect 9 crates worth of food, which she dropped off at the site in Strood. It comes as figures show demand for food banks across Kent has more than doubled since 2018. Elsewhere, it's been confirmed children on free school meals in Medway will still receive support over Christmas. Holiday clubs will be running from the 23rd of December to January 3rd, providing activities and a meal. The hunt is on for a Sevenoaks lottery winner who's at risk of losing their prize. The mystery player won £10,000 a month for the next 30 years, but is yet to come forward. If they still have their ticket, they have until April next year to collect their win. But if they've lost the ticket, they'll have to register a claim by this Saturday. And a Kent business has won an award for the best glamping site in the southeast. Lunar Domes in Edenbridge has been praised for the luxury experience it offers. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code LucyHickmott, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.